You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Tuesday the 19th of July 2022 and you're listening to me, Sir Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Well, today I'm going to start by talking a little bit about what is happening in the Conservative Party. I haven't spoken about it so far because I was hoping to cover it with Max Masson on Real Britannia yesterday, but he was unable to record with us this week. So I'm just going to give a few thoughts about that today before looking at some of these candidates. And although we have been critical of Boris Johnson, and we would describe him as being anti-white and basically increasing immigration into the country by giving visas to Afghan interpreters, giving visas to Hong Kongese, presiding over the largest influx of illegal immigrants into Britain ever through the channel, all these boats that keep coming through the channel, more of them arriving than arrived during the Norman invasion. I think that was the last time we had so many people turn up on our shores illegally. But besides that, he did lift the lockdown. All the other politicians in Europe were forcing their citizens to get jabbed, and Boris Johnson did not force the citizens to get jabbed, and he did lift the lockdown, and he did get Brexit done. And I think because of that, he has a lot of support. I think he has a lot of support from within the Conservative Party, and I think the members of the Conservative Party are going to be very upset at what happened. If you cast your mind back a couple of weeks, there was a no confidence vote and Boris passed it. He passed it with flying colours. And if you pass the no confidence vote, then the party are not allowed to have another one for at least a year. And then a week later, they're all demanding that he leave. All the politicians are refusing to work for him and demanding that Boris step down. And it just looks to me as if the whole party has stabbed him in the back. I mean, if you look at the contenders that we now have for the leadership, none of them have the charisma that Boris Johnson has. I mean, the guy is funny and he does have character. He is appealing. He is bumbling. He does make a lot of mistakes, but he has charisma. You cannot say that about any of these other contenders. And they all look as if they've just pushed their leader off the cliff. Basically, I think the Conservative Party have really shot themselves in the foot here, but we will see what happens. Apparently, the most anti-woke candidate is Kemi Badenoch, the Nigerian, but I don't think she's that capable. When you hear her speaking, I mean, yes, she is anti-woke. She's probably from the right-wing side of the Conservative Party, but is she competent enough to be Prime Minister? She doesn't strike me as if she is competent enough to do that. Then you've got the Suella Braverman, the Attorney General, who I've spoken about before, who spoke up about what's going on in the schools. But again, I don't think she's competent enough. None of them are as competent as Boris Johnson. And Boris is completely incompetent. They just look as if they're all out for themselves. But I wanted to particularly today to talk about Kemi Badenoch, who is being put forward as the so-called right-wing candidate. And it appears Britain First have been trolling the newspapers by officially endorsing her. Britain First has officially endorsed Kemi Badenoch for Prime Minister after the far-right political party described the MP as anti-woke and called other election candidates part of the liberal wing of the Conservative Party. And this is a bit of a joke because, of course, it's an entirely a liberal wing of the Conservative Party. And Kemi Badenoch is obviously a supporter of diversity. She's not ethnically British, she's ethnically Nigerian. And as I say, I don't think she is competent enough to actually be Prime Minister anyway. But really, the Prime Minister of Britain, should they not be ethnically British? I mean, the Conservative Party is supposed to conserve traditions and conserve British values. Isn't it a tradition that the person that leads Britain is ethnically British? Kemi Badenoch is currently fourth in the Conservative leadership race after the third vote took place on Monday night. The MP for Saffron Walden in Essex is campaigning on an anti-woke and small government platform. So this is basically the anti-woke candidate that we've been given is Nigerian. And it's like saying, well, she's anti-diversity, but you don't get more diverse than herself, basically. And also, if they did put her forwards, I think the Conservative members wouldn't vote for her. If she's there if there's a choice of two between her and, say, Liz Truss, I think people are going to vote for Liz Truss. Liz Truss is equally incompetent, completely historically and geographically illiterate. And unfortunately, I do think that Liz Truss is going to be the one that we end up with. Mrs. Badenoch beat Tom Tugendhat last night in the third Conservative leadership vote after receiving 58 votes, up by 9 votes since the second vote. And I do know that some Conservatives were hoping that it was going to be Tom Tugendhat, but obviously he's just not popular enough. Former Chancellor Rishi Sunak has taken the lead with 115 votes, up by 14 votes. And of course, he was the one that stabbed Boris in the back. He was the man responsible for giving out all the money during the COVID lockdown. In second place is Trade Minister Penny Mordaunt with 82 votes. And Penny Mordaunt is Bill Gates' candidate. She's had a lot to do with Bill Gates. She also thinks that biological men that present themselves as women magically become women. At least Suella Braverman didn't go along with that, and at least Boris Johnson didn't go along with that. But Penny Mordaunt is steadfast, left-wing, progressive, on board with the trans agenda, I would say. Third place is Foreign Secretary Liz Truss with 71 votes. And I think Liz Truss is going to win this. I think Penny Mordaunt may well fail at the next hurdle and Liz Truss will get in there, but we will have to see. After the vote, Britain First officially endorsed Kemi Badenoch as their candidate. So she must be in fourth place, I guess. In a press release, the party claims to have thousands of members who have joined the Conservative Party to help Boris Johnson win the previous Conservative leadership election in 2019, and that was them trolling them as well. They were claiming that they had filled the Conservative Party up with Britain First members, and they were the ones that got Boris Johnson voted in. They also described other leadership candidates, Mr. Sunak, Ms. Truss, and Ms. Mordaunt, as part of the liberal wing of the Conservative Party. They're all liberal. They are all progressive. I mean, not even Jacob Rees-Mogg would voice any support for Enoch Powell and the things that he said years ago when he was making his predictions about what was going to happen to the country. And some of his predictions did turn out to be a little bit over enthusiastic. I mean, the violence that he predicted hasn't happened, but the influence of people that have moved to the country and the influence in government and elsewhere, that has come about just as he predicted it. It's just that it hasn't come about through violence. It's come about through them organising in their communities and white people not being able to politically organise in our community. And when it came to the anniversary of Enoch Powell's speech, Jacob Rees-Mogg was the first person to speak up and say, I condemn Enoch Powell and condemn what he said. And people were thinking, well, surely you're supposed to be part of the traditionalist wing in the Conservative Party. And wasn't Enoch Powell the most popular Conservative politician ever? I mean, it really showed the treacherous nature of the Conservative Party that they got rid of Enoch Powell. I mean, we did a really good series on Enoch Powell in the Greatest Britons section. You'll find about 6 hours looking at Enoch Powell's life. I mean, he really was quite an incredible fellow, incredibly educated and articulate and really loved by the country. And there's really never been another Conservative Party politician like him. But I do like Jacob Rees-Mogg, but again, he even Jacob Rees-Mogg is not traditional. He's not a proper conservative. Britain First leader Paul Golding said Britain does not need any more woke, politically correct Remainer prime ministers. Britain First will do whatever it can to ensure that genuine, patriotic, small c conservative values triumph. And I guess that's it. That's the joke, isn't it? How can they be conserving conservative values when you put forward a black contender for prime minister in a white country? Of course, they'll say, well, it's a multicultural country now, but Britain was built by the ethnically British, and it should be the ethnically British that lead the country. And I think that's what the conservative voters will vote for. And unless they're left with only two non-white people to choose from, of course, then we'll have a non-white prime minister. But I think if there's a choice between non-white and white, the conservative voters will instinctively vote for the white contender. Kemi Badenoch has also been in the news because of a disagreement with Femi Oluwole. Tory leadership hopeful Kemi Badenoch would harm the fight for racial equality, a left-wing activist claimed yesterday. And that is bizarre, isn't it? Because if Kemi Badenoch was to get in, it would be the first black prime minister we've ever had. But I guess then they wouldn't be able to say Britain is a white supremacist country, because there would be a black prime minister. So I guess that's what people are criticising about this, and saying that it would harm the fight for racial equality. I mean, it would harm the arguments that there is no equality, wouldn't it, if there was a black prime minister. In a bizarre social media video, Femi Oluwole accused the Nigerian-born MP of supporting racism by saying the phrase white privilege should not be taught in schools. And she has said some really good things, Kemi Badenoch. She said it was completely illegal to be teaching children about white privilege and putting Black Lives Matter into schools. But of course, Femi Oluwole believes that that means that she is supporting racism. Femi Oluwole is he's a black campaigner for rejoining the EU. He's funded by George Soros. And that's basically what he's famous for, but he goes on talk shows as well. He posted a clip of ex-equalities minister, Mrs. Badenoch, telling the Commons in 2020, "We do not want teachers to teach their white pupils about white privilege and inherited racial guilt." So by implication there, Femi Oluwole does want white pupils to be taught about white privilege and inherited racial guilt. I mean, he would complain that this is what black people have to put up with. Black people are oppressed, and they have this, people are looking at them, and they have this inherited thing about slavery. But he's saying that he wants that instilled into white people. He wants white people to have white guilt. He wants them to think that their ancestors were all privileged and didn't have to do any work. And I mean, when you look at it, white people were slaves as much as black people were. There's no difference. Slaves have always existed throughout history. White people were slaves to the Anglo-Saxons. Mrs. Badenoch continued, "Let me be clear that any school that teaches those elements of critical race theory as fact without offering a balanced treatment of opposing views is breaking the law." And of course, we looked at a study that was done a couple of weeks back, and that said that 1 in 4 primary schools were teaching this critical race theory. So why hasn't Kemi Badenoch done something about this? I mean, she gave a good speech here in the House of Commons in 2020, but clearly nothing's been done about it. 1 in 4 schools are teaching this to children telling white people that the white peoples, that whiteness is an evil that needs to be eliminated. And Mr. Oluwole said, by declaring it is illegal to say that systemic racism exists in a country where systemic racism is a fact, Kemi Badenoch is definitely supporting racism. Now, hang on a minute. The government did a big study. They looked into this. They looked into whether there was institutionalized racism in Britain, and they said that there wasn't institutionalized racism. There was no systemic racism. There were other reasons why these inequalities exist. It wasn't the fact that companies are deliberately discriminating against black people. And of course, Femi Oluwole's argument is, yes, but if you ask people by anecdotes, they will say that they feel that they didn't get a job because they were black, or they were looked at funnily by a security guard because they were black. It's all anecdotes. And that's why he's saying, oh, it's a fact that there is systemic racism, because he talks to other black people and they have a suspicion that they're being discriminated against. But when you actually look at the facts, there isn't any systemic racism. And it doesn't matter how much work you put into fighting it. If you have a multicultural system, there is always going to be that fear there that you're being discriminated against. I mean, the fear is there in white people as well. They will think, well, I wasn't given the job because of all these diversity quotas, and because the company wants to be seen as liberal and progressive and employing lesbians and disabled and black people and women, and I'm a white male and that's why I didn't get the job. I mean, it's the same for everybody now. Everybody is fearful that they're being discriminated against in some way. And the only way that you can stop that is to get rid of multiculturalism. Just have ethnically homogenous countries and ethnically homogenous states. No racism could exist then. No discrimination would exist then. And each people group would be free to grow in the way that it was meant to grow. And each people group would have a unique culture to offer the world. When you have multiculturalism, you lose your unique culture. I mean, we're continually being told that Britain doesn't have a culture anymore. Britain's favourite dish is curry, for instance, that sort of thing. You end up losing your uniqueness when you have multiculturalism. The anti-Brexit activist wrote on Twitter, the damage Kemi Badenoch would do to the fight against racial inequality as Prime Minister should worry us all. Well, why is he worried? I mean, she's part of the same ethnicity that he is. Clearly, she's going to advocate for black people. And it just seems to me that she's fair-minded and she doesn't want to see white people being discriminated against. I mean, as I say, I've got nothing against Kemi Badenoch. I just think that she's not quite competent enough for the position as Prime Minister, but she does appear to be even-handed in the way that she looks at things, such as critical race theory, and she certainly upsets the left-wing activists like Femi Oluwole. Mrs. Badenoch's team declined to respond to his comments. I guess they thought he was too inconsequential to bother with. After securing 40 votes in the first round of the leadership contest, the MP said, our party must stand as the party for change. I have the conviction, the courage, and the clarity of thought to deliver that change. Really? Is that what a Conservative Party should do? It should be the party for change? I would have thought the Conservative Party was the party that tried to slow down the pace of the change, not be increasing the progressivism, maybe winding it back a little bit, maybe undoing some of the damage that was done by the Tony Blair administration, for instance. But the Conservative Party doesn't. It just charges on full steam ahead with the same policies that the left have always had. There is no difference between the Labour Party and the Conservative Party. The only genuine opposition to what is going on is the nationalist opposition. And of course, that's why we get silenced all the time and debanked, and they keep trying to completely outlaw us, because we are the only genuine opposition. Yesterday, she announced she would strip a responsibility for economic growth from the Treasury if she becomes Prime Minister. She said she would build a new office for economic growth that would be run from Number 10. By taking this step, I will ensure that growth is a central mission of the government I lead. She added, So economic policies there. Is economic policy something that she's good at? She's apparently she's been the Minister for Equalities. So that's the area that she's been involved in. So she's going to know about equalities and equality law. And yet this Femi Oluwole thinks that she's going to be no good as Prime Minister because she's going to hold back the fight for equality. Mr. Oluwole's comments come after several left-wingers were accused of attacking candidates on the basis of their race. One candidate, Suella Braverman, said, "It's amazing that as the Conservative Party is likely to elect a non-white Prime Minister, the left, who have not even had a woman Prime Minister, seem to think British politicians who are not white belong to them." And there is this idea that if you're black or non-white and you don't support left-wing ideology, you support right-wing ideology, then you must be a white supremacist. And that's what they mean about eliminating whiteness. They mean eliminating anybody black or non-white who's a nationalist as well, because they'll accuse them of being white supremacists. I mean, the word white has become an offensive word, basically. I mean, if you were to put the word black before a negative term, you would be accused of incitement to hate, you'd be accused of breaking the Public Order Act. But if you use the word white before something like supremacist, oh, that's completely fine, that is. We see that used as a headline all the time in the newspapers. Well, we do have a little bit of good news that I would like to finish up with here. A number of Tory MPs have suddenly turned on a forthcoming online speech control bill as the party prepares to elect a new Prime Minister. And of course, it's just a few Tory MPs that have spoken about this, and that's probably throwing a bit of red meat to the crowd before people vote for the new Prime Minister. I'm not so sure that they will actually make any changes to this online speech control bill. They have all seemed to be wanting to support it, but apparently a few have spoken up about it. According to a report by The Telegraph, the online safety bill has now been delayed, with a vote on the legislation now not due for another 3 months, after which a new Prime Minister should already be in office. Badenoch has praised the delay, saying that the proposal is in no fit state to become law, while also implying that she would not see the legislation scrapped entirely if she were to be picked as the new Conservative Party leader. See, they are really pushing to try and get the nationalist-minded, right-wing-minded people to vote for Kemi Badenoch. She said, "If I'm elected Prime Minister, I will ensure the bill doesn't overreach. We should not be legislating for hurt feelings." And this bill essentially creates a new category of speech which is not illegal, but harmful. And all the internet companies would be required to remove this speech that was not illegal, but the Conservative Party have decided it could be harmful. So it's basically people that obey the law would be punished for this, and people on the left would be protected and shielded from criticism. That's what she means by we should not be legislating for hurt feelings. As Britain's Conservative Party prepares to elect a new leader, and by extension the next Prime Minister of the United Kingdom, a number of Tory MPs have decided to suddenly turn on a bill which aims to dramatically curb freedom of speech online. Titled the Online Safety Bill, the legislation has been championed by UK ministers Nadine Dorries and Priti Patel, both of whom appear to believe that banning illegal but harmful expression online is needed in order to keep children safe. Of course, it's got nothing to do with keeping children safe. It's all about silencing the opposition. And it's surprising, really, because Nadine Dorries and Priti Patel are supposed to be on the right wing of the Conservative Party. This is why I say the Conservative Party are all... they're all leftists, they're all progressives. These are the supposed right-wing politicians here, Nadine Dorries and Priti Patel, and Nadine Dorries is continually promoting this bill. However, despite the rest of the party having been relatively quiet for some period of time on the matter, a number of MPs have picked now as a good time to speak up about the legislation. The authoritarian and arbitrary distinction of legal but harmful speech is an attack on freedom and is as unconservative as it is un-British. Backbench Tory MP and former minister David Davis wrote in a comment piece for The Telegraph. And David Davis is fairly good. I mean, he is conservative-minded, and he's good that he's speaking up about this, but why hasn't he put his hat into the ring for Prime Minister? Davis went on to reference an occasion where a speech he had made in the British Parliament on COVID vaccine passports was censored by social media platform YouTube, which he argued revealed the general attitude of big tech towards free speech. But then you have to ask, why was it that YouTube were censoring his speech about COVID? And it's because of the directives that were given out by the British Parliament that David Davis is a part of. So it's kind of like a vicious circle here, isn't it? The YouTube blame the government, and the government blame YouTube, and the censorship just keeps on going. The current trajectory of the bill threatens to compound the situation by bringing the state in as the enforcer of online censorship. It grants an enormous amount of executive power to the state in an entirely undemocratic way, the MP went on to say. The cut and thrust of a leadership contest will allow us to debate these issues, and at least one of the leadership candidates has identified the bill as being in need of reform. And it is incredibly undemocratic because I forget who it is. Maybe it's the Home Secretary. It's one of the MPs is the ones that can determine what is legal but harmful speech. And it can change from day to day. I mean, they can decide that a topic of conversation, they don't want it to be talked about. And they'll just give out a directive to all the major companies and say, well, this is legal but harmful speech and we want you to remove it. And then the companies have to remove it. And of course, the companies are all going to be overly cautious as well. They're going to be removing stuff before it actually needs, if it's questionable, they're going to be removing it, even when it could be completely fine. I mean, just the idea of having something that's legal, but the government decide it's too harmful for you to hear, I mean, that is really totalitarianism. I mean, it's like nothing you would hear happening in China or Russia. The totalitarianism is all here in the West. Davis's call to reconsider the legislation echoes those made by leadership candidate Kemi Badenoch, who was denounced for enabling white supremacy by the far left after she said that the UK should not be legislating against causing offence. So again, I mean, she is quite sensible, Kemi Badenoch, and she does appear to be objective and understand the need for free speech. I just don't think that she's competent enough to be Prime Minister. And also on the world stage, I think these other countries, when they see who is leading Britain, they want somebody ethnically British to be leading Britain rather than somebody who is ethnically Nigerian. I mean, I'm sure she does a good job. I'm just not sure that she should be the figurehead for Britain, which is really what a prime minister is. It's a figurehead for the whole country. It's who people think of when they think of any of the countries in the world. Rather than legislate for hurt feelings, as we risk doing with the online safety bill, we must strengthen our democratic culture at a time when democratic values are under assault from without and within, the outsider candidate remarked. And that is very good, because she is pointing out that you need to have this speech in a democracy. You need to have both sides of the argument need to be heard. And she is pointing that out. She's not talking about democratic values being silencing anybody on the right. She's talking about democratic values being free speech here. While earning the ire of the far left, Badenoch's platform appears to have earned her the support of fellow online safety bill opponent Nick Fletcher MP, who announced last Wednesday that he would be voting for her in the first round to become the next Conservative Party leader. She has the strength of character for leadership and a clear vision for the country, the MP wrote on social media, saying that he had been listening to his constituents regarding the decision. Despite all of this resistance to the bill, Home Secretary Priti Patel appears to still be standing behind it, writing in an op-ed last week that the online safety bill would make the UK the safest place to be online. Really? I mean, you talk about safety here. What kind of physical harm could be done to somebody by hearing an opinion that is different to their own? And that's what you're talking about here. You're just talking about people with different opinions to the mainstream narrative. That's what they're talking about banning here. That's what they're saying is legal but harmful speech, is people criticising the trans agenda or criticising the immigration policy. And she wants to just be able to ban all this stuff. It goes completely against what it means to be a conservative. She said the bill has been designed to protect both the safety of users as well as their right to privacy and freedom of expression, she wrote, but added that the UK must do more to combat these foul, hugely destructive crimes. How does this bill do anything to support freedom of expression? You should be free to express yourself in any way that you wish, so long as you're not inciting violence against somebody. And it should really be an immediate threat of violence. I mean, there used to be a phrase years ago, people used to say they should all be lined up against the wall and shot. And of course, they didn't mean that. That was just an exaggeration. But today, you would get accused, or you could get accused of trying to incite terrorism by saying something like that. But that was a very common phrase that you used to hear 20 or 30 years ago. We've had so many clampdowns on freedom of expression and freedom to express your opinions that most people in Britain are on tenterhooks all the time. They're terrified that they can't, that they might say something, say the wrong thing, and there would be a witch mob after them. You know, a mob coming after them, wanting to burn the witch and try and get people to lose their employment and lose their bank and get ostracized by their community just because maybe they said women are women, or because they said they disagreed with immigration. I mean, people are too frightened to actually speak their mind anymore because of all the censorship that there is, let alone adding more weight to this censorship, which is what this bill is going to do. Meanwhile, since Badenoch's comments on the online safety bill were published, Dorries has hit back, asking the former Equalities Minister on social media exactly what part of the bill she is talking about. Well, it's obvious, isn't it? It's the bit that says legal but harmful speech. This does not seem to have gone all that well for Dorries, however, with the minister getting embroiled in at least one argument with an unverified account about the value of certain elements of the bill. So I think what's happening here is they're just trying to encourage people to support the Conservative Party, pretending that they're going to do something about this bill, trying to get people to support Kemi Badenoch by implying that she is going to do something about this bill. And it's basically the powers that be behind the Conservative Party that are sort of saying to people on the right, well, if you like right-wing politics, if you're against all this woke stuff, you're going to have to support this black woman that we've put forwards. I think that's what's going on here. And I think that's really what Paul Golding is highlighting by saying that he supports her. And I say I've got nothing against this Kemi Badenoch, and she does say a lot of good things, but I just don't think she's competent enough to be Prime Minister. And I think the rest of the world want to see an ethnically British Prime Minister in Britain. I think that if you're going to have a figurehead for the country, which is what the Prime Minister is going to be, then it needs to be of the ethnicity that originally built that country, basically. Well, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion. Talk radio for the nationalist community.